The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Masechet Sota has been dedicated by our good friends and Talmid, Mr. Haimi and Dina Dana, Hashem Yishmonem V'Chayim, for the success of their children, and especially the Fu'as Shelema Moshe Ben Dina, ולעילוי נשמת יוסף בן סרינה, דוד בן פרידה, נעיר בן זוהרה, משה בן פייגה רות, שרה בת אסתר, פייגה רות בת אסתר, אל אסתר בת יוכבת. רוח השם תניחם בגן עדן, אמן. תזכו למצוות. דף למתת, תראה, דף הזה בנסתר לעילוי נשמת מרת זקנתי יפה בצרה, ולנשמת יוסף, מור זקני יוסף בן צרה ולברם בן אסתר, רוח השם תניחם בגן עדן אמן, תראה, סבס בן ישראל לפועה שלמה, משה בן דינה, שרה רוחמה, בת רחב ושרה בת לחיית, אלנה רפאר עליהם פת הנפש, ולפועת הגוף פועתם כלבה לבוא וכן ירסו ונאמר אמן, בגין תראה, סדף על נבן חיית עמוד בית, and we are going to begin three, four, five lines from the bottom, starting from the word גופה, גופה, תנא אבא ברא דרא בנימין בר חייא עם שאחורי כהנים אין בכלל ברכה. As we learned earlier, as we know, anytime you see a gufa, gufa is quoting a statement that already we had learned earlier, the am that is behind the kohanim are not included in the berakha, which you have to be in front of the kohanim. So comes the Gemara and says, Peshita, it's clear, Ariche be'apegutze lo mafseke. Let's say you have a tall guy standing in front of a short guy. He's not going to be mafsik. So long as they're both in front of the Kohanim, one person standing in front of another is not going to be a hefsek, a barrier to the fellow. Now, teva lo mafseka. Matter of fact, the teva itself also, the furniture in the Bet Knesset, is not going to be mafsik between the person that's getting the berakah and the Kohanim. Mechitza mai. But what about a situation where there's a wall of some sort? So comes the Gemara and says, Tashemat amar bi Yoshua ben Nevi, afilu mechitza shel barzel, ena mafsekit ben Yisrael, laviim shvashram. Even a iron curtain, an iron wall, cannot separate between Bnei Yisrael and Aviyim Shabbashamayim. Now the question is, why is this wall up? So the Tosafot on the bottom says, Yeshua Dedavka Bdelo Anisi Kamebayade. Which we're talking about over here, where in a case where there's no anus, which means they put the wall up, even they didn't have real circumstances to put it up. Avad b'de anise peshita, but if they had an onus, which means if they had a circumstance where there were no other way for them to do it but put up this wall, for sure peshita demigara me'achem shebasadot. It's not going to be worse than the farmers that are in the field that we said if they couldn't make it to synagogue, the Birkat Kohanim goes on them. So if they needed to put up a wall for extenuating circumstances, and they're in the shul, they're at least in the synagogue, so certainly it's going to be okay. So the Hadush of Gemara is even in the case where there wasn't extenuating circumstances, they put up a wall anyway, there is no hefsek between the Jewish people and Aviyahem Sheba Shamayim. I once heard somebody came along and said that Afilu me'itzat shel barzel ena mafseket ben Yisrael, which means it's talking about in the Derash that two Jews are supposed to obviously have camaraderie and get along and have shalom. So it says nothing can separate Jews, even a wall of barzel, afilu me'itzat shel barzel ena mafseket ben Yisrael, cannot divide the Jewish nation to each other, so long as what? Lavihem Shema Shamayim. So long as all the people are Lashem Shamayim, then nothing is able to stand in between them. And then even comes to Gemara now with the question, Ibaya Lehu Stadim Mahu. No. Famous question in Birkat Kohanim. What about the people that are standing off to the sides? Okay, so they're not directly in front of the Kohanim. They're on the sides of the Kohanim. What is the status? So comes to Gemara and says, Amar Abba Mor Bar Rav Asher Tashema Ditnan. We have a Mishnah. Now this Mishnah over here actually is by the laws of Para Aduma. Now we know that the law of Para Aduma is that we sprinkle the special waters and have the ashes of the Para Aduma on either a human being to purify him or on a vessel that became Tameh. So now the question is like this. Let's say the Kohen or the Mazeh, his intention was to sprinkle a vessel that was in front of him. But what happened? Vizal de Achorav.
but it got something got sprinkled from behind him. Which there was a vessel behind him as well. So with the intention to sprinkle forward, he ended up sprinkling backwards, and it landed on a keli. As she says on the top line, right behind him was clean and needed azah. Well, the opposite case, he intended to sprinkle behind him, and he ended up sprinkling forwards in front of him. Hazaato pesula, no good. Hazza is no good. Why? Because she first line hazaato pesula debayin and kavana the tarin kavana kedichtiv viza tahor ala tameh shiem mitkavenu. Which means you have to have kavana to the item that you're sprinkling. You intending to go forward, the water ended up going backwards. No good. Now the Gemara says lefanav. Let's say he intended to sprinkle in front of him. Veiza alatzdadim shebefanav. But instead of the waters going straight in front of him, they went off to the sides. There was a keli on the side as well. Comes the Gemara says zaato keshera. So what do you see over here? That side is considered front. And it's considered that he had kavana for the front, because that's what his kavana was, the fanab. And even though it went to the stedim, so you see that stedim is considered fanab for para aduma. So similarly for kohanim, that just like we said before, that the people have to be panim el panim, but stedim is considered the fanab. Therefore, the people that are standing on the sides of the kohanim will also be yotze in the beracha. Now, there is some laws that have to be clarified on this over here. When we say lefanav, or we say letzdadim, it's obvious that if the people that are on the sides are behind the Kohanim on the sides, which means they're really like you can draw a diagonal towards where the Kohen is to the guy on the side, for sure the Gemara is saying that's okay. Maran Bet Yosef holds that not only if they are behind, but even if they are parallel, which means you could draw a straight line from the face of the Kohen to the person that's on the side, so he's not blind, he's equal to his to the width, or actually to his face, that's also considered stadim, and therefore it's also considered mutar. However, in that case, Maran stipulates that the Kohen should turn his body towards the Kohen, when normally everybody's standing facing the Hechal, right? But in the case where you're parallel with the Kohen on the side, then you turn yourself to the Kohen. Now, the question was asked in the Halakha, just to, because we're talking about Stadim, a lot of times in the synagogues, there's people that are on the sides. There's a lot of Kohanim. So, the Kohanim extend, not only beyond them, but also past them on the other side, which means they are now in the middle of the Kohanim. There's Kohanim in front of them, and there's Kohanim behind them. So the question is, do the guys on the stadim have to walk out of their seats to go behind the Kohanim all the way? Or do we say, listen, since there's some Kohanim in front of them, it's okay. La halakha, they're okay. They do not have to move from their positions. Why? Because the whole logic is that when the concern was that when a person, let's say, is standing in front of the Kohanim, that shows he's not interested in the beracha. That's why he doesn't get the berakah. Because if he was concerned, he wouldn't be lazy. He'd move, to have the Kohanim in front of him. Mm-hmm. In this case, he has Kohanim in front of him. So it doesn't show that he's lazy or delinquent. Happens to be there's so many Kohanim, so they also extend beyond him. But they were alakas. Even if he's on the sides, it would be okay. Comes again, Amar Rava, different alakas. Bar Rav Huna, Kivan, Sheneftach Sefer Torah. Once the Sefer is opened, so they open the sefer to read it in the sibur, asur l'saper, no more talking. Afilu bedvar halacha. And even when it comes to talking the Vrei Torah, shene'emar u'befitcho, which is when Ezra Sofer opened the sefer Torah to read it, amdu kol ha'am. Now this amdu doesn't mean they stood. Ve'en amida ela shetika. This amida means they were silent. Shene'emar v'ochalti. Which is, I waited, that's what pasuk means, to wait. Ki lo yidaberu ki amdu. They stopped talking. Lo anu, or they did not respond. Rabbi Zera amar Rav Chasda mehaka ve'ozne kol ha'am il sefer ha'Torah. Because the pasuk says that the ears of the entire nation have to be paying attention to the sefer Torah. So they're basically, once the sefer Torah is opened, there's no more talking, even conversing in halakha. Tosfot over here comes along and says, look at the Tosfot, kevan sheneftach would turn his face from the Sefer Torah and he would learn during the Sefer. Amar inu bedidu v'anan bedidan. They're doing their thing, I'm doing my thing, he would say. Umatzinu lememar. One answer you can say is the Mehadir Apeh Shani. That maybe the difference is he turned his face, which is maybe the whole concern is when you're facing the Sefer Torah and talking, maybe that's the issue. But if you turn your head away from the Sefer Torah before they open the Sefer, so that can be mutar. He was learning, but the Gemara said he can't even learn. But he was Gores. Not only talking, even the Dvar Halakha. But he was learning. It's the Dvar Halakha. I thought we said it's Asur. No one said he turned his face. Rav Sheshat Shani. Mishum Davi Meor Einayim. Rav Sheshat was blind. And therefore, Vayah Patur Mekriya. He's Patur from hearing the Kriya. You know why? Because the Halakha says anything that's written, you're not allowed to read by heart. And this is a blind man, so really he's not allowed to hear the Sefer Torah by heart, because he only can read it bichtav. So since he was patur, I was able to learn even during the Sefer Torah. Then he comes along and says further in another answer, miu mistavrak prushlah prushad abdav karav sheshat v'chayotzebo de torato umanuto. Third answer, Rav Sheshat was special. He was a man that was considered torato umanuto. He did not waste a minute of his time. All he did is study Torah all day long. So for a Torah umanuto guy, so long as you have other people in the synagogue listening to the Sefer Torah, he was able to learn. And therefore, according to that answer, since today we do not have that level of torato umanuto, therefore the Halakha says when they take out the Sefer Torah, everybody should pay attention to the reading itself, not to read, not to learn, not to study Halakha, not to do anything, just to pay attention totally to the reading of the Sefer itself. Comes the Gemara continues. Amar Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, kol kohen shelo natal yadav lo yisa et kapav. A kohen who does not wash his hands before the Birkat Kohanim should not go up for nesiut kapav. Shneimar, su yedechem kodesh ubarichu et Hashem. Su yedechem kodesh means sanctify your hands to make them holy and then bless God. Now, there is a famous opinion of Harambam that's brought down in the Shulchan Aruch that says that if a Kohen washed his hands already for Nitnat Yadayim Shachrit, the regular Nitnat Yadayim that we make, and was careful that his hands did not become soiled or dirty till the time of the Kohanim, he can rely on that washing. Now, Lacham Maran does not take that opinion, and he says, even though a Kohen washed his hands in the morning for Nitnat Yadayim, still, he must go wash again. We only rely on Harambam's opinion in a case where, let's say, there's no water, or let's say, like we have in the case yesterday, the Kohen was the Hazan. So if the Kohen's the Hazan, he's the only Kohen in the synagogue. So he can't walk away from his Hazara now and make the Tidat Yadayim. But we said he makes Kohanim if he's able to go back to the Tefillah. So in that case over there, he can rely on the Rambam Shita that says the Tidat Yadayim is okay. But if not, if it's in a regular situation, the Kohen must wash it. The custom is that the Levi washes the hands of the Kohanim. If there's no Levi, then the Bechor is the custom to wash the hands of the Kohanim. Comes again and says, Shalut Amidavit Rabbi Azar ben Shamua. The students asked Rabbi Azar ben Shamua, Bema erachta yamim. What do you credit your long life to? It seems he lived a long life. So what did you do to merit long life? Amar lem miyamai lo asiti bet keneset kapandaraya. I never made the bet keneset a shortcut, which means kapandaraya is an acronym that she tells us. Ademakifna adare i'ul beha, which means instead of circumventing the whole row of houses, i'ul beha, I'll enter this house and go across. Which is another way of saying a shortcut. Now you're not allowed to make the synagogue a shortcut because that respect. Now the halakha says it's forbidden. So then the question then is, they're asking the rabbi, to what you credit your long life to? So he says, I never made a bet kenes kapandriya. It's assumed to make a bet kenes kapandriya. So therefore, you know, nobody's allowed to do that. And the explanation is, even in cases where it's permissible, he was mahmid. For example, Halakha says, let's say a person went into the synagogue to learn. Right? And after he finishes his learning, now he wants to go and take the shortcut. It's mutar. Because he didn't go in for that purpose. He went in to learn. So even in cases where it was permissible, Rabbi Elazar ben Shamua was Mahmir. Hence, God gives him a long life. What's the second thing he did? Velo pasati al Rashi am Kodesh. I did not step on the heads of the holy nation. What is this referring to? In the olden days, they used to study the students when they were sitting on the floor. So if a rabbi would come into the shiur after everybody was seated already, what happened is he would be walking between the people. It would look like he's stepping on their heads because they're all sitting on the floor and he's above them and he's, you know, he's putting his feet, you know, in between them. So it's not kabod. Oh, so you tell me, it's a suit to do that. Anyway, it is a suit to do that. So the question is, what was he getting long life? So explanations, even in the case where it was permissible. What would be a case it was permissible? One rabbi wants to explain, for example, said they were sitting on benches, where really it would be mutar, but still, he didn't want to give the impression that he was giving lack of respect. Or, let's say, he was the one that was giving the shiur. He was the one that's giving the shiur, so he needs to get to the front. Where it would be mutar, let's say, still, he did not break the law. The next thing he did was... He was a Kohen. I never made Birkat Kohanim without a Beracha. The question is not a Katz, you have to make a Beracha? So I saw different interpretations over here. Some want to say that the Beracha of Birkat Kohanim was originally not a mandatory Beracha. Why? Because you don't make a Beracha on a Beracha. Birkat Kohanim is a Beracha, for example. Birkat HaMazon. Do you make a Beracha before you make Birkat HaMazon? Why not? Birkat HaMazon is Deoraita. So maybe before you say Birkat HaMazon, you say, Ashir Kedesharav Tav Sivanu Levarech Birkat HaMazon. Baruch Ata. Ela, what's the explanation? You don't make a Beracha on a Beracha. So with Birkat Kohanim is a Beracha. So therefore he says, even though I'm not obligated to make the Beracha, I still was Makpid to make the Beracha. That's one interpretation of what we're saying over here. There's another interpretation to this. What does it mean that he always made the Beracha of Birkat Kohanim? The beracha Birkat Kohanim, the berachas we're going to see now is levarech et amo Yisrael be'ahava. That the Kohen, a prerequisite before he can get up to make the beracha, he has to love the people that he's making the beracha. He's not to have any animosity or any hatred, things like that. And if he has it, he cannot make the beracha. So therefore, the greatest of Rabbi Elazar ben Shammua was saying, I never did not make the beracha, which means he always had ahava to Klal Yisrael. Therefore, he was always able to make the beracha, which that's already a sigula for arichut yamin. Comes the other mefarshim you want to say that this was not referring to the beracha of the mandatory beracha of Ashik Kedeshan and Bekdushito Shel Aron, like we'll see, but it's referring to this other Yehirat Sons and the Bonos Shel Olam that the Kohen has to say before he goes up to the Dukhan and when he comes down from the Dukhan. Those are voluntary. So what he meant to say that I never made Birkat Kohanim without a beracha, he's saying not the regular beracha. The beracha, of course, you have to say according to those opinions. The explanation is those pre-berachot and post-berachot, he also was careful to say them. Now the Gemara is going to say, "My mevarech, what is the beracha that the Kohanim say?" Amar Rav Yizra, Amar Rav Chazda, "Asher kedeshanu b'kedushato shel Aaron, that you sanctified us with the sanctity of Aaron, according to Sivanu. You commanded us to barek et amo Yisrael be'ahaba. You commanded us to bless the Jewish people be'ahaba." The numerical value of the word ahava is 13. And therefore, when you have ahava on both sides, where you have two Jews that are exuding ahava to each other, so it's 13 and 13 is 26, that means the Shekhinah is, and that's what the pasuk means, ve'ahavta l're'acha kamocha. When a person has ahavat havirim, what's the next two words? Ani Adonai, which means, I am Hashem, which means when there is ahava, 13 and 13, indeed, Ani Hashem. Comes the Gemara and says, ki akar kar'e, when the Kohen moves his legs to go up to the Dukhan, like we learned at the time of Ritzeh, that's already the Kohen has to make his move up to the Dukhan. So when he's making that move, my Omer, what does he say? Yiratzom lefanecha Hashem Elokeinu, shetehe berachazu shesivitanu leberechet amecha Yisrael, that this blessing that you've commanded us to bless the Jewish people, lo yeh b'michshol v'avon. Right? There should not be a stumbling block, and it should not be Atzvah Shalom lead to Avon, which means you should succeed in order to make the beracha in the proper way, which means if the Kohen has a sin, so then his beracha is not going to be accepted, and therefore the people are not going to get the beracha. So he's praying to Borei Olam that they should be worthy, that their sins do not interfere with the beracha that they are trying to give Klal Yisrael. Now the question is, when are they going to make this special Yiratzon? So the problem is, if they're going to make it on the way up, they're not going to be able to answer Modim de Rabbanan. So therefore the halakha says that they should answer Modim de Rabbanan first, and they have to finish Modim de Rabbanan. So by that time they're really, really up to the Dukhan, and they should say this Yiratzon. Again, at this point over there, you have to keep in mind, they're facing still the Echal. They did not turn around yet. They're still facing the Echal, and they say this Yiratzon. And when they turn their faces from the Sibur, what do they say? Which means, after they make Birkat Kohanim, now during Birkat Kohanim, they're facing the people. Now this should be noted, somebody made a good point, how important Birkat Kohanim is, that we even allow the Kohanim to put their backs to the Echal, which is something that we take very seriously. You need a heter to do such a thing, and on a daily basis, this is why the Sfaradim, the Kohanim are putting their backs to the Echal. That shows you the importance of the Birkat Kohanim. Now after Birkat Kohanim is over, they turn around and their faces are back towards the Echal. At that moment they make a beracha, they make a special tefillah. What is that tefillah? My Omer, what do they say? Ad berer, Rav Chazdal, Rav Ugba. One time Rav Chazdal was escorting, they're walking together, that's ad berer, Rav Chazdal with Rav Ukba v'darash, and he said, Ribono shel olam, asinu ma shegazarta alenu. Right? Ribono shel olam, we did what you commanded us to do. You commanded us to bless the people. We did it. Aseh imanu ma shiftachtanu. Now you, please God, promise, do what you promised us. Hashkifa mimeon kochecha min hashamayim. Look from the heavens where you are. Ubarech et amecha Yisrael, and bless the nation. Which means God promised in the beracha, like we learned according to Rabbi Akiva, when it says v'samut shemi abenei yisrael va'ani abarechem. God says, you put your hands on the people with my name, and I guarantee I will bless them. I will bless the people. The blessing of the people is twofold. The Kohanim bless them, and Shekhinah gives them the beracha as well. So va'ani abarechem. So God, after the beracha is over, the Kohanim say, listen, whatever, we did what we had to do. Now you fulfill your end of the deal. That what? That you're going to bless the Jewish people. So the Kohanim are concerned still about us. They're not asking for their own beracha. You promised to bless them. So now that we did our job, fulfill the end of the pasuk, v'ani abarechem, and I will bless the people. Comes the Gemara, Zamar of Chazda. En ha-Kohanim l'shem l'chuf k'shvei etzbo'otehem, ad she'azu p'nehem min ha-sibur. Which is, the Kohanim are not to put their hands down and close their hands. That means to bend their hands. When the Kohanim are making the beracha, their hands are open, as we learned. So when are they allowed to put their hands? And only after they turn around, which is after Birkat Kohanim is over, so long as they're still facing the Sibur, their hands must be up. However, after that they turn around, once they turn around, their back is to the Sibur, then already they're able to lower their hands. I'm going to visit, I'm going to press that. Now we talk about over here the timing of everybody involved in the Birkat Kohanim. Now you have different players over here. You have the Hazan, that's the Mekre, that's the one that's reading the words to the Kohanim. You have the Kohanim that are responding. You have the Kahal that's answering Amen to the Beracha. So basically what the Gemara is going to teach us, everybody has to be on cue. That everybody has to wait for the next guy to finish his word and his response and his Amen before he starts his next move. Amar Efrazda, Ena Kore Rashai Likrot Kohanim. The Kore should not read the words to the Kohanim. He's got to wait till Atov Shemcha Ulchana'e Lehodot. They answer Amen. Now he says the word Kohanim. Then a Kohanim Rashaim Latchil Beberacha. And the Kohanim have to be patient not to say the word until the Koreh finishes. Which means, he'll say, V'yishmerecha. They have to wait till the V'yishmerecha, the word is finished. Then they respond. Not like sometimes the Kohanim are in a rush, because they're tired, their hands are up, so they cut the reader off, and they say, well, they have to wait. Now the Sibur's cue. They cannot answer Amen to the word until the Kohanim are finished. Not like sometimes the Sibur answers Amen as the Kohanim are saying it. They have to wait. And then what? Then the Kohanim Nashim Natchil Beberacha Acheret Ad Sheichle Amen Mepi Asibur. And they cannot begin the last Beracha, which means, as we learned, after the Kohanim is over, which when they say, V'yasim Necha Shalom, they have to make the Sibbun HaOlamim. Asita Ma Shegazar Ta'alenu and all that. They do not say that Beracha until the Amen of their Shalom, the last word that they said, is so everybody's waiting for each other. Now it should be noted that these Berachot that the Kohanim say before they go up or while they're going up, and after they finish, they're supposed to time themselves that their Beracha, their Beracha as they're going up, will finish with the Beracha, Tov Shemichal Kaneh Deodot. And therefore the Amen that the Sibur is saying goes on that Tov Shemichal Kaneh and that Yehiratzon that the Kohanim just made, as well as the last Berachah to say, they're supposed to say that slow enough that it'll finish simultaneously with the Sim Shalom Berachah. So therefore when the people answer Amen on Sim Shalom, it's going on that the Bona Olamim as well. Comes goes Rama Rabbi Zera Marev Vizda Ena Kohanim Rasha'im Na'azir Pinehem and Asibur Ad Shiyatqiz Shaliach Sibur B'Sim Shalom. That's right. Which means the Kohanim are allowed to turn themselves back around until the Hazan starts with Sim Shalom. Which is even though they finish V'yasem Nechash Shalom, they have to stand in position. Once the Hazan starts Sim Shalom, then they're able to turn their backs to the Sibur. Ve'enam Rashim La'akor Agdem V'delech Ad Shi'igmor Shliach Sibur Sim Shalom. They can't go back to their seats until the Hazan finishes the Beracha of Sim Shalom. That's why you see the Kohanim always wait by the Duchan until after the Beracha of Sim Shalom is over. Beberechat Amo Yisrael B'Shalom Amen. Then they're able to return to their positions. V'amar B'Zera Amar Rav Chisda En Asibur Hashim La'anot Amen Ad Shetekneh Beracha Mipi HaKoreh. We're talking about a fellow over here who is going up to the Sefer Torah. So he's making the cut of Torah. So again, everybody has to be on cue, because again, you have players. You have the guy who's making the Beracha, the Baal Koreh, and you have the Sibur. So everybody has to wait for each other in order to, before they read their parts. So therefore, the Sibur should not answer Amen until the guy finishes the Beracha. Sometimes they say they're rushing. The guy's saying, Baruch Atah Hashem, as you say, the people are answers. Have to wait. Yeah, but specifically, again, in the case where, that's what I'm saying, where you have a couple of different players. You have a Sibur, you have a guy who's going up, you have a reader, you have the Sibur. So everybody has to be on cue that they don't rush each other. The reader should not read the Torah ad sheyichneh amen mipi ha-sibur. They have to wait until the sibur finishes answering amen. That's why we have a custom that the reader himself also says amen out loud, in order that everybody knows that they're finished, he can start. The old days used to have a mitargim. They used to have a translator. So the translator also wait for his cue. He has to wait for the reader to finish the pasuk, and then he reads his translation. Now the opposite. The reader has to wait for the translator to finish his translation before he goes back to the reading. Okay, the person that getting the maftir. The maftir, he reads the haftarah. However, Allah says, you can't just go get an aliyah and just read maftir. It's not kavod for the Sefer Torah. Therefore, the halakha says he has to read a few pesukim of the Sefer Torah and to show kavod to the Sefer, and then he able to read. That's why if you notice the haftarah, the maftir is a repeat. You're only repeating three, four pesukim, whatever it is, at the end of the parashah. But we read these pesukim already. You're right. You're not reading it to read it to be yotzeh to, because you read these words already. And you're reading it as a kavod. They should start with Torah Shemichtav, the main item, and then you go to the haftarah. Ve'amar avitan om amar yoshu ben nevi, en amaftir ashay laftir ben nevi, ad shigalel sefer Torah. The olden days, was a process to roll the Sefer Torah. It wasn't like us, where we have a Sefer Torah in a case, we just close it, which would be, like I would say, that you shouldn't start reading the Berachot of the Haftarah until the Sefer Torah is closed, but that's easy. The olden days, they used to wrap it up with special type of sheets, mitzpachot, they used to call them. These sheets would cover up the writing, and they would wrap it and roll it, so the Gemara is saying over here, according to Rashi, you have to wait till the Sefer Torah is rolled up before you start the Haftarah. Why? This is a Derech Eretz law. So the people that are rolling, don't miss the Haftarah. Be courteous. Let them finish rolling the Sefer Torah in order that they can hear the Haftarah. Look at that. She says that inside. That she says that... look at that. She... Ad shetegalel Sefer Torah b'mitpehotav. Right? With its sheets. Kedeh shelo yu agolilim tirudim minashmo Haftarah mipi ha-maftir. So the rollers will not be preoccupied that they'll miss the haftarah from the Sibur. אין שליח ציבור רשאי להפשיט את הטבעה בסיבור מפני כבוד ציבור. Let's discuss the manhag they used to have in the olden days. The manhag in the olden days was, in some places, they didn't have the Aron Kodesh in the room where they were praying. They would have to sit for Torah in a different place. So what would they do? Before they would bring the Sefer Torah into the room where they were praying, they would dress up the teba with different type of mats and rugs and whatever it was to cover the Sefer Torah. Once they draped, we'll call it the teba, then they would bring the Sefer Torah in. Good. Now they read it and all that's fine. Now they have to take the Sefer Torah out. So the halakha says that you're not supposed to take the Sefer Torah and start cleaning up the teba in front of the Sibur. Why? Because that would represent Torah Sibur. Which means what's supposed to happen, take the Sefer Torah back to its place, everybody goes home, and let the Shamosh go back to the synagogue and let him clean up the Teba. They didn't want the Teba to be cleaned up with all its nice things when the Sibur was waiting, because the Torah, the Gemara places great emphasis on Kavod Sibur. Now let's read that inside. They used to bring a sefer Torah from a different room, they would drape the teva with nice clothes and garments, וכשיוצאים משם, when they would leave, when they would finish praying, נוטלים סבר תורה להודיכו לבית המשתמר בו. לא יפשיטו הבגדים אל הטבע בפני הסיבור. Don't undrape the טבע. Why? מפני תורח סיבור. לעקב שם עם סבר תורה. They're going to wait there till they finish. אלא מודיך סבר תורה לביתו. Bring the סבר תורה back to his room. ומניחו. And leave it. והעם יוצאים אחריו. And the people will follow the סבר אסקוט ואחר כך. הוא בא. And the Shamosh goes back ומפשיט את הטבעה. Good. ואמר רבי תנחום, אמר רבי יושב בן דבי, אין הסיבור רשאים לצאת עד שינטל ספר תורה ויניח במקומו. Which means the people should not leave the minyan until the ספר תורה is put back in its original place. Which means that then you shouldn't leave before the Sefer. Shmuel Amar Ad Shiyitze. Shmuel says, not that you have to wait until it gets to its place, Ad Shiyitze, until it leaves. Which means they're talking about two different stages over here. Which means according to the first Shita over here, you gotta wait until the Sefer is actually placed in its position. Shmuel comes along and says, no, Ad Shiyitze, which means, actually, it's even more. According to the first, I would say better. According to the first Shita, once they take the Sefer Torah, in order to bring it out, they've took the Sefer, they're intending to take it, to bring it out, that already even the Sibur can leave. According to Shmuel, no, it's not enough that they took it, they gotta actually leave. And then only the Sibur can follow the Sibur. So comes the Gemara and says, Velo Peligi. It's not a machloket over here. It depends how many doors there are in the synagogue. What does it mean? Look at that sheet. Ika petra harina. Mishinata sefer Torah latzeh derech petcho. Let's say the sefer Torah is going out of door A. Okay, once already they took the sefer, in order to take it out of door A, the shibur can leave from door B. Okay, that's the first shita. That they're able to leave before it even left. So long as they picked it up, you're not going to leave the same door. It wouldn't be respectful to leave the same door and you go out first before the Sefer Torah. So if there's two doors, you got to wait. Wait till they lift it up to take it out. Once they lift it up to take it out, the Sefer go out A, you go out B. However, as she says, But there's only one door. It wouldn't be kavod, as she says, for you to leave the same door first and let the Sefer Torah go out first, and then the people follow. Again, today we have a Aron Kodesh. The halakha does bring down that one should try to remain in the synagogue and not leave, at least until they put the Sefer Torah back into the Aron. Amar Rava Bar Ahina. I'm sorry. Amar Rava, comma. Bar Ahina Asbirali. Bar Ahina explained to me from the following pasuk. Achare Hashem Elohim Telechu. Which means the pasuk says you have to follow God. What is he trying to, how do you follow God? Well, you have to follow the Sefer Torah. The Sefer Torah goes out first, and the people, that's what it means in the Pazuk, Ahare Hashem Eloheichem Telechu. Okay, well, that was his name, and he explained the logic why the people should not be in front of the Sefer, why they should be behind the Sefer. Comes again, but it's a mismatch. Good, at the time that the Kohanim are blessing the people, Mahen Omrim, what do the people say? Which means it seems that the people would actually have to say certain pisukim at the time of Birkat Kohanim. Why? To show that they're accepting the Berakah of the Kohanim. So by saying these pisukim, it shows their willingness to accept the Berakah. As she says, Ha'am Mahem Omrim, Shir'u Masbire Panim Umodim Lefanav Ad Berkotav Narot Shem Nuhot Lehem. To show that the Berakot are pleasant. So they would say certain pisukim. So the Gemara says, Amar Bizin Amar Fazda. They would say pisukim that refer to the blessings of God. What's the first pasuk they would say? Barichu Hashem Malachav Gibore Kawah. Let the angels, the holy ones of God, the strong ones, those that serve God, let them bless Hashem. Number two, Barichu Hashem Kosevaav Mesharetav Oserisono. Let those that serve God and are in His legions bless Him. The third pasuk they would say is Barichu Hashem Kol Maasav. All His creations should bless God. Bechol Mekomot Memshalto. Barichi nafshi et Hashem. So they would say these pisukim. Now these are actually three pisukim keneged the three pisukim of the Birkat Kohanim. Let's review these pisukim. You have Barichu Hashem Malakav Gibore Koah, Barichu Hashem Kol Seva Mishanatav Oseh Lesono, Barichu Hashem Kol Maasav Bechol Mekomot Mishanatav Barichi Nafshi Et Hashem. That's one pasuk, the last one. And therefore, one pasuk with one beracha. Now, with Gemara, we're going to discuss exactly when they would say this. Would they say it after the first pasuk? Would they say it when the name of God is mentioned? We'll wait for the Gemara to say when these pasukim were mentioned. Comes the Gemara and says, B'musfe deshabetamahen omrim. Okay, what are you doing today at this Musaf? Why? Because it seems they want you to say different pesukim. So these already, you said these pesukim in Shacharit. So you need three new pesukim to recite in Musaf. So what are the three new pesukim? Amar Rav Aseh, Shira Ma'alot, Hine Barichu Et Hashem, bless God, Kol Avdei Hashem, all the servants of God. Se'u Yedechem Kodesh, raise your hands, U'Barichu Et Hashem, bless God. Baruch Hashem Mesiyon, Shochen Yerushalayim Hallelujah. God is blessed from Sion. Shochen Yerushalayim. So comes the Gemara and says, "Velem aname yibarichicha Hashem misiyon dichtiv." Oh, look at the she. The Gemara's question is, "Baruch Hashem misiyon." Look at the she. "Baruch Hashem misiyon." Eno beoto mizmor. This third pasuk that we said, Baruch Hashem, is not in the mizmor of Shira Ma'alot, Yine Barichu Et Hashem. Why don't you finish with the pasuk that's in that chapter? Which means you started off with what? Shira Ma'alot. That's the chapter in Tehillim. It's chapter number 134. That Shira Ma'alot, Yine Barichu Et Hashem, Kol Avdei Hashem. The next pasuk is Su Yedechem Kodesh Barichu Et Hashem. So the Gemara says you should say the last pasuk. Baruch Hashem Sion. Why are you saying the pasuk of Baruch Hashem Sion? Shochen Yerushalayim, which is in chapter 135. So comes the Gemara and says, Velema Nami Baruch Hashem Sion Dechti Ba'u Anyana. אמר רבי יהודה ברית רבי שמעון בן פזי מתוק שהתחילו ברכותיו של ברוך הוא מסיים ברכותיו של הקדוש ברוך הוא. Which means, since we're talking about people blessing Borei Olam, giving a blessing, so therefore praising Borei Olam, so we want to give the third pasuk on that same context. Which means the pasuk that the Gemara wanted to say was Baruch Hashem Misiyon Shochen Yerushalayim. We want to discuss over here the blessing of Takadosh Baruch Hu. Because so that's referring to that the Jewish people should be blessed. We want to keep the pesukim equal. That what? The Jews are blessing or giving praise to God. So therefore, even though that pesuk is in the same chapter, We don't say it because it's in the wrong direction. That's talking about the Jews being blessed. We want to use Pesukim that talks about the Jews blessing God. Comes the Gemara continues. So we solve Shachrit. We solve Musaf. What about on a fast day? On a fast day, the Halakha says that in Mincha, you're allowed to say Birkat Kohanim. Why don't we say Birkat Kohanim in Mincha on a general day? That's why Gemara Tanit says because of Shichrut. You're concerned that people might be eating and drinking, and they might be inebriated, and therefore Kohen is not allowed to make Birkat Kohanim if he drank. However, on a fast day, Halakha says since nobody's eating in Mincha, specifically Mincha Katana, late in the afternoon, it is permissible for the Kohanim to make Kohanim. So you did it already in Shachrit, right? So now the question is, what are you going to do in Mincha? Now, the issue of it you have to keep in mind is Mincha, at a time of it, it was a very critical time. The Gemara Ta'anit said, that's when the Sibur makes introspection to see any averot that they have in their situations. They make teshuvah, and at that time they cry out to God to ask for forgiveness. Therefore, you're going to notice the three pesukim that they chose during Mincha are different than any other time. All the other pesukim we said are blessing pesukim. These pesukim over here more is that we're asking God for forgiveness. So you're going to say, well, why now? Because it's more the timing. And we know that what? That the time of Birkat Kohanim is a very opportune time to pray to Borei Olam for different items. For example, when a person has a bad dream, the Halakha says he should pray for nullification of that bad dream during Birkat Kohanim. So you see that time of Birkat Kohanim, the gates of heaven are open. So therefore, on the Mincha V'Ta'anit, the three Peskim that are going to be chosen are Peskim that talk about asking God for forgiveness. Come to Gemara says, Amar Rav Acha Bar Yaakov. The first pasuk is, Im avonenu anubanu Hashem aser lemaat shemecha. God, if we have sins, please forgive us for your sake. The next pasuk, Mikve Yisrael Moshi'o be'etzara. God is the hope of the Jewish people. He redeems them in time of trouble. Lama tiyeh keger ba'aris. God, why are you being like a stranger in the land that you are not paying attention to us? Third pasuk, Lama tiyeh ki ish nidham ki gibor lo yuchal le'oshia. Why, God, are you making yourself like you're unable to redeem us? And the end of the pasuk says, Ve'ata bekirbenu, God, you were in our midst. And therefore, Shekhla alin rekla, Al tanihenu, do not leave us. So these three pasukim of Avish are talking about Danyan of being accepted. Look at the bottom of Nashi. Like we said, comes Gemara and says, "B'ne'ilad yomad kippure, my, what about ne'ilah and Yom Kippur? Obviously, ne'ilah as well was another tefillah where there was Birkat Kohanim. Amar Mozutra v'Amir Matnita. Number one, Hine kichen yeborach gaber yireh Hashem. That's right. That what the person. Will bless his friend, he will bless him, that is Yireh Hashem. Yibarikika Hashem Mesiyon, Oreh Betuv Yerushalem, Kolim Mechayecha. And then the last pasuk, Oreh Banim Lebanecha, Shalom Al Yisrael. Now, comes the Gemara and says, Hechan Omran. Where do you say these pesukim? Now we got to go back. Now we have what you say. When do you say it? Rav Yosef Amar, Ben Kol Beracha Uberacha. Between each pasuk, which means Yibarikika Hashem Mishmerecha, then they read the first pasuk. Then Ya'ed Hashem Parav Elecha Honecha, they read the second pasuk. Then after Ya'ed Hashem Lekash Shalom, they read the third pasuk. Then Rav Sheshat Amar Be'azkarat Hashem. That each time they mention Hashem's name, which means Yibarikicha Hashem, they say the first pasuk. Ya'ed Hashem, they say the second pasuk. Yisa Hashem, they say the third pasuk. Look, after the pasuk, or during the Azkara of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, comes the Gemara and says, Pedigi Bara Mori Ve'Rav Zvid, Had Amar, Pesuka lekabel pesuka. Some say it's pesuka lekabel pesuka, which means it's one for one. Which means, forget about when you say it. That we have a machloket already. It's either at the end of the pesuk or at the time of when you're saying God's name. Now the question is, how many do you say? So one rabbi says, one pesuk for one for one. The other shita says, no. V'had amar akol pesuka amalu lekulehu. That, yeah, three for one. We say all three pesukim each time, at each interval. Now, this will stop over in the Gemara, but it's worthy to say one dirasha. The Gemara quoted one of the pesukim over here, Hine kichen yevora gaver, which is actually from Teilim Kuf Chaf Het. So the chapter says like this, Shira Ma'alot, Ashrei kol yireh Hashem, fortunate is the person who fears Hashem, ha'olech midrachav, that he goes in the ways of God. And what are some of the benefits of somebody that has fear of God? So David HaMelech goes on to list it. Yegia kapecha kitochel, which means he will benefit from the labor of his hands. Which means he'll go to work, God will give him parnasah, he'll be satiated. Ashrecha v'tov lach. He'll be happy in this world. V'tov lo le'olam haba. Ishtecha kegefen poriyah. His wife will be fruitful, meaning having children like a vine. V'yarkete betecha, in the inner chambers of your home. Inner chambers means she'll be modest. Banecha kishtile zetin. Your children are going to be like olive shoots. Saviv l'shulchanecha. Which is, look at all the benefits of somebody that has fear of God. He's zochet a panasa, he's zochet a good wife, he's zochet a good children. So the next pasuk says, Hine kichen yevorach gaver yere Adonai. Behold, for so is blessed the man who fears God. Which means, according to the simple interpretation, David HaMelech is reviewing. Hine, therefore, this is what happens. Kichen yevorach gaver. The man is blessed if he has fear of God. But I once heard from Hakam Avadia that he explained this pasuk a little differently. He said, Hine, behold, once you see that all these blessings come from someone that has fear, kichen yevorach gaber, when a person comes to bless his friend, when a person comes to give a beracha to somebody, you know what the beracha should be? Yireh Hashem. You should be God-fearing. Since that's not the beracha kolelet, that's the beracha that's all-encompassing. So therefore, hine kichen yevorach gaber, when a friend comes along and says, give me a beracha, the best beracha, and you can tell him is just you should have Yirat Shamayim. Once you're telling him Yirat Shamayim, what you're really telling him is Panasa, good wife, good, oh, everything is included once you get to that. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu says. Ma Hashem Elohecha Shuel Ne'emach. What is God asking for you, from you? Kim Ne'ira. Once you're ready, you have Yirat Shamayim, all the other things fall into place.